Okay, thanks for being here. My name is Liz Budd, and as was said, I'm a doctoral candidate at Washington University in St. Louis. And the topic of this presentation is how parent perceptions of the neighborhood park environment influence their children's sedentary behaviors and physical inactivity. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So as we all know, this being the physical activity section, the children in the United States are not spending enough time doing these physical activities and are spending too much time doing these sedentary behaviors. So why do we care? Well, inactive children are at an increased risk for chronic disease and obesity, and so when we talk about inactive children, they're getting less than the 60 minutes of physical activity that's recommended per day. And then, likewise, children who spend more than 2 hours engage in sedentary behaviors, so these are behaviors that are done while sitting or lying down, they're also at an increased risk for obesity and related chronic diseases. And this is independent of their physical activity levels, their diet, their age, their race, family income, lots of different demographic information. So there are a lot of different ways we can look at this problem, and the angle from which this analysis comes from is the parent angle. And so parents' perceptions of the neighborhood environment, they influence where and how their children spend time. And more research is needed on these perceptions in order to help inform the design of local policy that addresses these parental concerns and promotes their children's healthy behaviors. So the objective of this study is to investigate how parents' perceived barriers of the neighborhood park environment predict their children's physical activity and sedentary behaviors. This is a cross-sectional analysis of baseline data of a larger study that took place in St. Louis City, Missouri, during the summer of 2012. Paper surveys were mailed out, and they requested that one person from each household who was an adult fill out the survey and send it back to us for a $10 gift card. And said we got 772 completed and returned surveys with a kind of unfortunate response rate of 21.9%. This study analysis includes only the parents who responded to the study, so they had children living in the home between the ages of 3 and 18 years old, for a total N of 196 respondents in this analysis. So the majority of the measures that that were in this survey were derived from the active wear study, and respondents, respondents were asked, the parental respondents for this analysis were asked to think about only one child and to choose the child in the home that was closest to his or her 13th birthday. Right below that is our main indicator variable of interest, parent perceived barriers of the child being active in a nearby park. 11 barriers were listed, all negatively oriented. So examples were, some were related to safety, others were there's not enough equipment in the park, I fear that my child will be bullied in the park, things like that. And they were analyzed individually. The first outcome of interest is the children's physical activity level, and the parents were asked to respond to the number of days in the past week that the child was physically active for at least 60 minutes per day. And the second outcome of interest was the child's sedentary behaviors. And so we asked about 6 different sedentary behaviors, and the parent was responded to the number of hours in a typical weekday that the child spends doing these sedentary behaviors. And it was analyzed as a composite scale score. So again, there are 196 parents The majority were female, between the ages of 30 and 50 years old, non-Hispanic Black, college graduates reporting a household income of less than $30,000, and they were physically active. So when I say physically active, these adult parents were meeting the 150 minutes per week of physical activity. So the first thing I did was run independent samples t-tests and one-way ANOVAs, looking at if these outcome variables varied by the different different parental characteristics that you see off to the right there. For the reporting, it's gender, age, race, education, income, and physical activity. And we found that children's physical activity differed by two of these individual parental characteristics. The first one was parent education, and the second one was the parent's physical activity level, whether they met or did not meet physical activity recommendations. So as you can see from the chart, the parents with less education tended to have children who got more physical activity. And then the parents who were more active tended to have children who were more active. Children's sedentary behaviors did not significantly vary by individual parent characteristics. So the next analysis I looked at was the two outcome variables, children's physical activity and sedentary behaviors, regressed on each of the barriers that the parents reported to their children being active in parks individually rather than as a mean composite score. This is a recommended strategy because it identifies really specific parental concerns that predict behavior, which in turn enables more targeted targeted strategies for improving health behaviors among the kids. So for the overall results, if you look off to the left, the first column, those are barriers to the child being active in a nearby park. And then if you go one column to the right, that's children's physical activity. And the minus and the pluses represent the direction of the significant relationships. So for parents who reported lack of equipment, lack of adult supervision, lack of infrastructure for a variety of physical activity options, and their fear of their child being bullied in the park, it predicted negatively that their children, so meaning that their children have lower physical activity levels. So there's a negative relationship there. And then moving over to the right is child sedentary behaviors. So for the parents who reported lack of equipment, lack of adult supervision, lack of infrastructure for a variety of physical activity options, it positively predicted child sedentary behavior. So there's a positive relationship that the higher number of hours in a typical weekday their children spent in sedentary behaviors. However, for children's sedentary behaviors, fear that the child would be bullied was not significant. So, informed by the earlier t-tests and ANOVAs, where I looked at how we found that physical activity varied by two of the parental characteristics, I decided to stratify by those two parental characteristics and look at the overall results again. And some differences were identified. Again, this is when I was stratified by child's physical activity results stratified by parent education. So the middle column is parents have less than a college degree, and the column on the right is the parents have equal to or greater than a college degree. And as you can see, the relationships are pretty different. However, lack of equipment, lack of adult supervision, lack of infrastructure for a variety of physical activity options remained negative predictors of their child child's physical activity levels, but only among the less educated parents. Fear of the child being bullied dropped out as a significant predictor. And then for parents who have a college degree or greater, none of those barriers to their child being active in the park predicted their children's physical activity. And this is children's physical activity results stratified by parent physical activity. So among the parents who do not meet the national physical activity recommendations, lack of equipment, well, across the board, there were no barriers that predicted their children's physical activity. However, among parents who were more active and met the national recommendations, lack of equipment, lack of adult supervision, lack of infrastructure, variety of physical activity options, all negatively predicted physical activity. And so that's consistent. But a new one that arose is that the lack of the presence of other children at the park is another negative predictor. Fear of child being bullied still dropped out with this stratification as well. So there are several limitations to this study. As is common in male surveys, the response rate is low, which increases the likelihood of response bias, respondent bias. No causal inferences can be made because of the cross-sectional nature of this study. Because we focus only on parents, it's a smaller sample size, which can increase our risk of type 2 error and limits generalizability of the results. The study used self-report measures, which are vulnerable to recall bias and measurement error compared with objective measures. However, has been mentioned already on this panel, there's a strong case for looking at perceptions of the environment, either in place of objective measures of the environment or in conjunction. And lastly, the survey instrument lacked clear questions about the demographics of the children. I would have really liked to have analyzed the data by especially age and gender of the child. So what at this point? So parents' concerns about the neighborhood park environment matter. Despite the limitations, the study builds on the current empirical knowledge of parent perceptions of the neighborhood park environment and their children's health behaviors. The study highlights that additional park equipment, adult supervision, and a variety of physical activity infrastructure in parks could support decreased sedentary behaviors and increased physical activity behaviors among children, especially among parents with lower education and who are active. This means that parents should be at the table when discussing the design of strategies and interventions for aimed at decreasing barriers to children's physical activity in parks. And lastly, there are many opportunities for us as public health researchers and practitioners, that looks like us, parents in the community, parks and recreation department, and law officials and park rangers to collaborate in order to develop, adopt, and implement related policies that address parental concerns and promote children's healthy behaviors. So I was just brainstorming what some of these might look like, and so some ideas I had, but I'd love to hear your ideas as well, because I haven't written the discussion section of this paper yet. Community events held in neighborhood parks, investing in new equipment and infrastructure for a variety of ages and abilities, shared use agreements between parks and community agencies, and even as discussed already in this panel, walking groups with adults too, if it helps address the concern of not enough adult supervision in the park. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, and I know
they're concerned people maybe won't spend money or won't be.
I think that's a great idea. So she spoke of having vendors come in and having an economic piece to bring people to parks. And St. Louis, I live next to a park called Tower Grove Park, and we have a food truck Friday, and it brings tons of people to the park from all over the city and the county. So I think that's a great idea. Thanks. Yes. Yeah, that's not something that I looked at in this analysis, but we did look at other, wider, news scale neighborhood environment information. As far as this question, we asked about a nearby park, but you're right that could vary. The area, the households and the neighborhoods that we looked at, they all had several parks in the area, so in that way we kind of made sure that whoever we sent the surveys to were in households that were not very far from parks, but like you're saying, their path to the park could vary and be different. Yeah, I think that's a great point. All right, thanks very much.